All right. How many of you are here to hear from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
If that is your intention, then you will. You will. Despite me, you will. Praise God. I want to thank Bill for filling in last week. He did a good job. Amen. I'm thankful that that God has... There's no such thing as fresh revelation. There's only fresh revelation to me. Can we understand that? There's never a new way, never a new word, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I love it when preachers come up and they say, I've got a new revelation. Well, he does. It's just not new. He just got it. Amen? The point being that whether it's Bill or whether it's me or whether it's you, whoever's speaking is not speaking anything new. They're just reminding us of something that's been since the beginning of time. Amen? Bill talked about faith last week, and I'm glad, because we need to hear over and over the truth. Many of us have a hard time ever getting a hold of one truth. It takes many times. Praise the Lord that God's going to keep pounding us with it until we get it. Amen? All right. We still need to continue to be praying for God's provision for us in a building. Oh, I'm satisfied with this one. But I don't think God is. We need to be satisfied or in love with whatever God's providing with us for the moment. But never satisfied, always wanting more. I believe in that. And so I think God's got something out there that's better than we've ever had before. We need to be seeking that to please Him. Amen? In the not-too-distant future, Desiree's going to be going to Georgia. And we need to be praying for a replacement for her. Now, I don't want a volunteer. I want God's replacement that's a volunteer. First volunteering to God. Amen? Now, that may sound not all that hard until you try it. But they've got to have conviction. They've got to have some ability. I'm giving you a recipe to pray for. Ability means that if you can't read the music, you can feel it. And I don't care which. Well, I want both. Understanding of music. A feeling for music. And a lot of people feel music, but all they know how to do is move their feet and tongue. The ability that we're praying for here is somebody to get other people to move their feet and tongue. And that means somebody that you can follow. Faithfulness, unashamed, somebody that can do praise and worship to completely different animals. Amen? So you all keep that high on your prayer list. Amen? Okay, let's get into God's Word. Father, we seek for You today. As I remember preaching quite some time ago, there's not one problem represented here this morning. Not one. Why? Because we've already given them to You. And if not, we do that now. Your Word says that we are to cast all of our cares upon You, so therefore we have no right to have a care. We only have the right to have a praise and a worship for You. So we lay our cares to one side, in Your hands, and we give You our time, our energy, our mind, our praise, and our worship. Our minds are fixed upon You, stayed, and nothing can draw them away. Our hunger is fixed towards You, and nothing can replace that. We want to get hungrier and hungrier as time goes on for You, Lord. As You feed today, we're going to get hungrier. As You minister to us today, we are not going to be satisfied. We're going to seek You for more ministry. But today we seek You for that word that we need this moment. That bread of life, that thing that will change us and cause us to be in Your likeness and image. We love You, Lord. More than that, we trust You. More than that, we proclaim You as the last and only word. There is no word, no action, and no weapon that can take the place of that. We love You that that's the truth, and there is no other truth. We receive from You today in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go back to a... For those of you that were there Tuesday night, you're going to get a little bit of a review. Or maybe even a big review. But I opened... For those of you that don't believe in this, well, fooey with you. But I opened my Bible to the first page that opened, And I looked down there, and this is the scripture that was there Tuesday night. And it has literally consumed me this week. And so I want everybody to be consumed again today. I want you to be consumed the rest of your life with this word. All right, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah. I'm just wondering how many of us act that way when we don't get what we want from God. That we think we have the right to throw things and yell and blame Him. You're not doing what I want you to do. How foolish we look when we do that. And we all do it. So, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I want you to hear from God today, from His Word. Hopefully I'll present it to you in a different way. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. Once again, God, it's your word. Now I'm going to ask you a couple of things, and I'm going to go over this until we get it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Why would the Lord be forced to explain how He thinks to us? We don't understand. What was that? So we believe it. Or maybe the real statement there would be because we didn't believe it or we don't believe it. He has to reiterate. You understand, a lot of the Bible is repeating what we already know, just in different ways. Why would anybody repeat what they said? Because somebody didn't hear. Right? So I believe that what's happening here is God is revealing two things. One, His thoughts for us. Two, that you still don't believe it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's start there. How many of us really believe? Now, listen, this, I may fire some statements of yours back, so don't be quick to answer. How many of us really believe that God only thinks thoughts of peace, hope, and a future about us? Yes. That's all He thinks about us. Yes. Now, I didn't say what He judged about us. I said what He thinks about us. So I happen to know by looking at the Scripture that He wants for us, or He thinks for us, salvation, yes, hope, peace, prosperity, healing, joy. I know about all of those things. I've read in the Bible. That's what He thinks for us. Or that's what He wants for us. We have a problem. Humans have a problem. They think they're strategists. They think if this thing happens and I think enough, I'll be able to figure out what to do about it. And most of the time all we end up is fools. Because we don't consult the one who has the only true thoughts. You see, here's the difference. God knows what's going to happen, and He's already thought through that to bring us a future and hope. We see the problem. Oh, there's a problem. Like God didn't know. Now, what do we do about it? So we proceed to do something about it. And it's not seek Him. It's how is this going to best work out? How many of you know that God doesn't make mistakes? He doesn't make mistakes. God does not get angry and make mistakes. God does not fall in love and make mistakes. God does not take drugs and make mistakes. He doesn't do the things people do. He's too busy thinking, which most people don't do. So what He's saying here right now is, say, would you please quit thinking and listen to me think? I'm getting tired of listening to you think. You listen to me think, and I'll show you what thinking really is about. Did you know that God's Word came from His thinking? He wrote contracts based on His thinking. What do we get out of thinking? Well, if it's His thoughts, everything. Our thoughts, nothing. I'll remind you of this. He's talking to a people that are in captivity because they followed their own thoughts. They're in captivity because they followed their own thought processes. And He's saying, I'm going to remind you again. This is your thoughts. These are mine. How much higher are mine than yours? Why don't you listen to me? Now, here's the key. When we don't listen to His thoughts, there's only one other thought process, and that is of the flesh. Come on, there's no amoral thought processes. There's a thought in the spirit realm, That's God designed and directed. And there's a thought in the flesh realm. That's Satan and you, your flesh that belongs to Satan. That's that directed by that. I mean, you've got two choices and there's no other thought. We make up, we try to look for that third, that Trinity thought process. There isn't. There isn't a Trinity here. There's God. There's everything else. And if I'm not, does God not give us the ability to think for ourselves? Well, yeah, you can go to hell if you want to. Don't mean to be rude, but just think all you want to by yourself. See where it gets you. Our very thought and our very walk needs to be based on what we know about God, not what we want. So God's reminding us, for I know the thoughts I think towards you. By the way, does he also know the things, the thoughts that we have? Okay. So let's look at it another way. He's shouting down your thoughts. Could you just be quiet for a second and let me tell you my thoughts? I'm getting tired of listening to yours. I've seen you throw the toys and throw the fits and that kind of stuff. I'm tired of that. Listen to my thought processes. Now listen to this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace. So if we don't have peace, our thoughts must be entering in. Not of evil. So if it's evil thoughts, he's telling you they're not my thoughts. Now come on. All of these things that look bad are not the thoughts of God. Now, this is hard. I've been going over this and over this and over this in my mind in a lot of different directions. Saddam Hussein was not an evil thought of God. The devil was not an evil thought of God. Hell is not an evil thought of God. Because even in those cases, if you will search, the Bible will tell you that he only thought of peace and good for those entities. Whether the devil or Saddam Hussein or whoever. He only has good thoughts even for bad people. He wrote the Word of God, which explains his thought processes for bad people. Right? Man, he offered this. He offered Jesus for bad people. He didn't offer him for good people. He offered him for bad people. We've got to latch on to the fact that God does not have bad thoughts, not even about bad people. He only has good thoughts. We'll understand how to treat people when we understand that even when they're bad, God has good thoughts for them. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean that we invite the bad in for dinner. It means we don't kill the bad because God's still having some good thoughts. What am I trying to say? There still may be a chance for everybody because God is thinking good. We don't ever write people off as totally lost. Only God can do that when he stops thinking about them. Do you believe that he has the ability to stop thinking about your bad deeds? Yeah. They probably need to be in here more than they need to be in there. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, it takes at least 10. Women. That's why all the bathrooms are filled. And they're complaining that men have more bathrooms. No, they just use them and get it through. Now, did you hear what I said? God has promised us that he doesn't have any more thought processes about our bad life. Cast it as far as east from the west, right? What we don't want to do is get to the point where he doesn't have any thoughts about us at all. Then we're lost without hope. The only hope that anybody, even Saddam Hussein, ever has is that God is still thinking about him. Right? Okay. What hope do we have in prayer? When we stop having God thoughts, we invite other thoughts in. That's a place we don't want to be. We, because of pressure, now don't you guys say that's not true because I'm going to call you a liar openly. Because of pressure, we allow thoughts in our lives other than God. And now the devil has the foothold that he needs to tempt, to sway, to curse, to bind. We need to get it settled. That what God thinks and what God said is true, and every man is a liar, including me. Right. You know, we were at Bob and Karen's Tuesday night, and I saw something in a way I hadn't seen before. We went in and we ate. We got out of the kitchen and she shut the lights off. Richard goes in, and he finds exactly what he needs because I was blind in the room and he wasn't. So where are you going with that, Stan? I'm telling you can't trust your eyes. Whether you have them or you don't, you can't trust your eyes. Well, so-and-so told me the other day, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Oh, are you deceived? I don't care what. I don't care who tells me what. I don't have the final story on it until God tells me. You hear me? Well, I caught him in the act. No, you didn't catch nobody doing nothing. If you can't trust your eyes, what did you catch? Well, they told me, if you can't trust your ears, what do you know? Well, it's my child. I'm going to side with him no matter what. You just displeased God. You'll side with him and his righteousness only, and you will side with nothing else, or you're wrong. Well, Stan, sounds like I can't take... That isn't what I said. You can imagine me not taking a side on something? That isn't what I said. I think when you get the thought processes of God, you have one true side. Everything else is a lie. Do we know that the thoughts God thinks about us are for a future and a hope? How strong do you think God is? You think if he thinks it, he can do it? All right. He knows he can do it. Now, where's the hang-up then? Do we know he can do it? All right, let's read on. I know that he loves me. I know if there's a problem. Listen to me now. I know if there's a problem, it is of my own making and my own belief system. Well, I'll let you take a look at some of my problems. No, I got my own battles to handle. Everybody knows we all got our own battles? Well, we also need to know they are of my own making. Well, you don't know what they did. No, and probably you don't either. What am I saying? I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how bad it looks. If I use my mind, it's over. It's finished. It's lost. If I use the mind of God, I see that this is part of the plan for a future and a hope. Let's go to the second part. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. What do you see here? Is the reason that our prayers are not heard often enough because we haven't been convinced that his thoughts about us are good? Let me put my little insert in verse 12, and let me show you what. What if I read it this way? When you finally believe that I am for you, when your faith is based on my goodness and trustworthiness, when you believe that my word is from my heart and my thoughts, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. See, when this popped into my head, I thought, my goodness, God does not listen when I'm listening from a problem, when I'm praying from a problem and trying to hear from a problem. He doesn't even listen to my prayers. Doesn't it say, then I will listen? What do we do? Please, don't get mad at me. Just listen to me for a second. I run into a problem, and I fall on my knees and pray, and God doesn't listen. That's what that scripture said. Why? Because I'm praying from the problem. I'm not praying from the knowledge that he's already working it out for future and for hope. I'm not praying because I'm lost without hope. I'm praying because I found hope in the mind of Christ. I know, I trust, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'll consider nothing else, that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Even if it looks worse, it's still better. This is so simple that it's hard. This is one of those truths that I'm going to stay on for a little bit because it's just too simple. You know why a lot of times people stop listening to each other? Friends, husband and wife? Because one of them is negative. I'm going to tell you something, guys. No human wants to hear negative stuff. I don't care who they are. There's a lot. We all want to give negative stuff, but we don't want to hear it. Hi, how are you today? If they say, fine, you'll ask them again next time. If they say, well, let me tell you about my problem, I don't think I'll ask him that again. Because I don't want to hear it. Why can't we be that way about problems, us and God? Why can't we have the mind of Christ enough to know that if there's a negative report, I will not listen again? I'll go somewhere where there's a positive report, which is the Word of God. We must believe and we must see in every situation, every faith battle and every prayer, that we must see them through God's thoughts and God's Word. That's not the first time I've said that, even today. I'm going to say it again. Everything we see, we have to see through the thoughts and Word of God. Everything. Not one exemption. There's nothing out there that we allowed to do, see, think, or believe that cannot that is not required to be through the thoughts and Word of God. I don't care if it's happy. I don't care if it's sad. I don't care if it's profitable. I don't care if it doesn't look profitable. It has to be seen through the thought processes and the Word of God. We must begin to understand and believe that good is what God wants. How many Christians, listen to me, how many Christians do you know right now that kind of wonders if God is always for good for them? I can tell you preachers on TV that will say, God will put this thing on you to teach you. God will cause this thing to happen. God, we're too creative for bad things to have God think up some. All He has to do is use the bad examples we set to teach. Watch an example, Joshua. I just used one. His flesh wanted to do bad, right? Why can't we use that to learn? That's what God would do. God didn't cause him to do that. But God caused me to think about that in the thought process of God. I can expect something good out of that because it was a thought of God. Okay. Good is what God wants. Bad is what our flesh and the enemy wants. What we must change, where we must change, and what we must change to, our understanding or our belief system. Where should we change this? How can we work at doing better? How can I have confidence in myself? Come on, y'all are full of confidence. Don't act like you don't know. What does it take for you to be confident about you? You weren't confident before you met God? See, most of us were confident before we ever met Christ. Believing. What? When you step up to do hair, do you pray God, oh, Lord, I'm a rotten, sinning worm, and I can't do this hair? Or do you already have confidence you can do it? See, there are some things in our lives. Do you believe you can cook? Does anybody else believe it? No. And that's the strange thing about confidence. A lot of times we have it when nobody else thinks we should. And yet we still have it. It's got to be based on some kind of faith system. Sure. We have some faith. I have some faith in myself. And God's, what God is trying to teach me is that is okay as long as it never overrides or supersedes the confidence that I have in Him. Well, why would you need to hear that, Stan? Because sometimes I believe my lying eyes. Yes. And sometimes I believe your lying tongue. And sometimes I believe my lying tongue. What does that do? That strips the confidence that I have in God. When I believe anything but His Word and His truth, it strips the confidence that I have in God. So my practice, my everyday faith work, is that I reiterate my confidence in God. Because every day there's going to be something that's eroding that, that's trying to steal it from me. That's where the body comes in, that we actually build up each other. If we weren't slipping a little bit, we wouldn't need a building up. Right? Here's what we do. We must believe that God is always for us. Not one time ever will He ever do anything to hurt us. Don't look at me like a calf in the new gate now. I'm telling you the truth. This has to be ingrained in you that God will never do anything to hurt us. If hurt comes my way, I did it. And God's helping me out of it. Amen. You know why that you guys are looking at me like that? Because you had confidence in yourself. Greater than the confidence in God. Yep. What you think you know gets you in trouble. What you know about God keeps you out of trouble. Listen, I am not trying to put us down. I don't stand here in front of you thinking that I'm stupid. And I don't want you to think you're stupid. I just want you to understand the way I understand that there is a higher thought process than mine. And I can trust that thought process much better than I can trust my own. God is always for us. He never intends to hurt us. Number two, God's thought processes are only for good, only for peace, only for a bright future, and that begins now. What do you mean now? Well, that begins the day you truly believe that, according to the scripture we just read. And we're going to read some more to prove it. It doesn't begin one of these days. It doesn't make any difference what problem that you have in your lives. God has already started the working of it out for you. Because He saw it coming long before you did. Come on. He saw it coming long before you did. And since you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, He's working it out for you, you can rest that it's not unto destruction. Doesn't make any difference how much pressure there is. Number three, healing is from Him for us. How many know that God doesn't need to be healed? How many know that Jesus suffered not because He was sick? So whatever has been done, here's some history. Whatever has been done, He's done it for us. He didn't need it. Healing is from Him for us. Number four, peace is from Him for us. See, the devil tries to convince you and you and you and you and everybody in here that you are not worthy of this scripture that I'm talking about. You've done so much bad, you've done so much wrong, that God's thoughts can't be good for me. Now, isn't that what the devil spends his time trying to convince us of? And Satan will even stick his foot out and cause us to stumble once in a while, get a little scrape or a bruise where you can say, see, God wasn't watching out for you. You can't trust Him. Trust the one that sticks his foot out and trips, but don't trust the one that picks you up. Don't trust the one. I'll tell you one thing more clear to me more and more as these kids are hanging around my house is that God is watching over them every minute. They ought to be dead 14, 15 times a day. Nobody takes more risks. Nobody does more wrong and stupid. Are you hearing me? Nobody does. And nobody cares for them like God does. Now, if I'm trying, don't you think He wants to do a little bit more for me than even for them? I can get confidence from all of those mistakes that I see. In fact, I can get confidence from everything that happens on this earth as long as I believe God is for me and planning a bright future. Peace is from Him for us. Five, prosperity is from Him for us. If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, owns the 1,000 hills, owns the water that feeds them and the grass that feeds them, the air that breathes them, does he need to give you money so He'll have more? So when He gives us things, it's for us, not for Him. Now believe me, it is for Him too because it makes Him look good. But that's not where we're here this morning. I'm here to convince a bunch of beat up people that you're not beat up. It's that simple. If you're beat up, it's because you've decided you're beat up. Prosperity is from Him for us. Six, joy is from Him for us. Joy. So if we're not walking in peace and joy, we're not seeking the right mind. We're listening to our own instead of His. If I'm not walking in peace and joy, it's my fault, not His, because He's thinking peace and joy, and I'm not. So I've only got me to blame. Number seven, power is from Him for us. Power is from Him for us. How much power does God need? You think He's got a little bit more than He needs? He's given us some. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a ton of guns and ammunition. They can sit there on the wall, and unless I pull the trigger, I never hear a noise. I never hit a thing. I don't even get to make a mistake. I'll take that as an amen. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? God has given us. I can take you to Genesis. I can take you all through the Bible. And God has given us unlimited power. Right. And He's not a bit afraid of that. It doesn't weaken Him to give us power. Right. And yet too many times we're afraid to pull the trigger because we don't know if God's going to back us up or not. Right. Why? Because I haven't been thinking like He's thinking. He thinks about these things always and always thinks them for us. See, I'm going to attack you just a little bit. He doesn't need you to think for Him. In fact, it's a little bit like me going to Haley and asking her about a business decision that I need to make tomorrow. She makes her decisions based on where the food tray is. Now, that's funny, isn't it? Well, how do we make our food how do we make our decisions? Many times, the minute our pocketbook is threatened, we worry about being hungry. And yet we've got every promise in the world to say that's foolish. His word or his promises are evidence of that working out of his thoughts. Now, did you hear what I said? His word is evidence of the working out of his thoughts. But his word doesn't stop there. When we begin to operate in power, peace, joy, prosperity, then we are evidence of the working out of his thoughts. You know what a CEO does? He has a thought. I think that if we do such and so, that we can make a lot of money. So here's what I want you to do. That's what a CEO does. He doesn't go do it. He tells somebody what to do. And if it's on a bonus system especially, they profit from his thoughts. They both profit from one man's thoughts. And that can go down the line very deeply and wide. Mary Kay, Amway, Shackley, all those things that were based on one man's thought processes that helped a lot of people. And many people that own stock in corporations that trust one man to make the right decision. And yet we won't do that with God. We have idiots like Michael Eisner that are making people money. And he's perverted through and through. And yet when he makes money, he's a hero. God will heal us from something, and all we're interested in is what's he going to do next. Everybody in here has had God do something for them that they could spend the rest of their lives thanking him for, and it wouldn't be enough. And yet all we're worried about is when that next move he's going to have on us. We have a hard time even trusting totally that he created the earth because we're too busy listening to that foolish boob tube telling us something different instead of just saying, liar, liar. We cannot have the things God has planned, has thought and planned and written and promised for us until we can think or trust his thoughts. Think as he thinks or trust his thoughts. Whichever one has to come first. Listen to the rest of this. I'm going to start with 11, and I'm going to go all the way through this time. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You must also know, then you will call upon me, and I go and pray, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen to this. My words, only when you believe and know, verse 13, then you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. How can there be a question in your heart and say, I trust you with all of my heart? Verse 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will be found by you when you trust that my thoughts for you are good. When you stop listening to anything else, I'll start listening to your prayers. And when you knock on my door, I will answer. But not until you believe I am who I am. I said what I said, and I will do what I said. Come on. The weak point in all Christianity is Christians do not always believe God does what he says he does. The evidence is not in this statement. The evidence is in our lives. We won't take a risk because I don't trust God. Listen to this. If you don't write anything else down, write this down. God will be found in his thoughts and his words, not yours. I can say it another way. Your answers will come in the mind of Christ and the word of God, not in what you say. Whatever you say will probably be against the mind of Christ. Come on. Let's don't put ourselves down. Let's recognize ourselves. You know, nobody says, if I had a size 14 shoe, nobody would tell me to feel bad because I was a little out of the norm in my shoe size. I would live with it. I would serve God with a 14-size shoe. Right? And I wouldn't take any condemnation. I am who I am. I am what I am. And God loves me in spite of all of that. And God thinks good thoughts of me in spite of all of that. And I've made all of these mistakes, and God still loves me, and he cares for me, and he's thinking about my good future. As the old saying goes, freckles and all, warts and all, right? There's no such thing as blondes have more fun. Christians are supposed to have more fun, no matter what color. Amen? When are we going to expect to have more fun? If God's word is for me, if his promises are for me, if he thinks of joy for me, I need to have some more fun. Well, he's actually coming against the word of God. Somebody needs to come against him. Another little teaching tool. That's what happens when we raise children. Children's way are to go against the law of God. Pow is the way you stop that. And by the way, God thought of it so he didn't limit it to children. Right? Fortunately for me, and I think my dad thought I was crazy one time when I said I yearn for the whipping of God. Because I found out that that little whipping is nothing compared to what's going to happen in the future if I don't straighten up. So come on, God. You know, that's what this is about. That's what this word is about, is a correction to me. I'm just sharing it with you. This is a correction from the Word of God for me. This is a direct Word of God to me. Anybody in here hear God? Well, I'm telling you, I heard God about this, and I'm trying to share it with you. God will be found in His thoughts, His words, and His ways, not ours. We have the permission of God to pray, seek, and ask when we believe that He's already thinking about us. There's so many little techniques here. I hope you're writing down the techniques. If we know that when it comes time to pray, that God has already got the plan in hand to prosper us, then we're going to be praying correctly. If we kneel to pray thinking we're going to tell Him about something, we've already started off wrong. And He's not listening. He's not listening. Why? Because we didn't come in faith, Harry. We didn't enter in faith. We didn't know that it's already been handled. So what are we crying out about? God, help me. What does the Scripture, the man of God, say in the Scripture? Help my faith. Help my unbelief. That's how we're going to pray. Lord, help my unbelief. I know You got this thing under control. I know that Your plan is for good, for peace, for joy, for prosperity, and a future. Help me believe it. Help me to know it. And help me to share it with somebody else. When I go to prayer with God, He's promised to hear and do something. Of course, to do something is going to mostly be in me because the plan is already on the way. He'll help me see it if nothing else. We have the permission to pray, seek, and ask when we believe that He's already thinking about us with good thoughts, with healing, prosperous plans for a bright and long future. Plainly it says that He will not listen to us if we believe that He fails us once in a while. Did you hear me? He will not listen to us if we entertain a thought that He's not real, that He's not doing what He says He does, that He doesn't love us like He says He does. He won't listen to us if we doubt Him. I want to tell you, as a husband, this woman starts thinking that I'm not truthful. I'm not listening to her anymore. I won't even talk to her. I'm not going to waste my time on that. Just eat my dust. Now, this is a man that can be wrong once in a while and still say, eat my dust. What about God, who's never wrong? How much more is He offended when He created us and when He saved us and when He healed us and when He provided for us and we doubt Him for an instant? Even for an instant. But you don't know the pressures I have. You don't know the problems I have. As my favorite saying, let's keep it that way. You make sure that you believe that God cares. And your pressures and things are going to go away. They're going to be taken care of. Now, one little disclaimer. If you believe that no matter what you do, God is going to pull you out, you're in trouble. Because you don't believe God with all your heart and do your own thing. Come on. They don't go hand in hand. They're opposing each other. You don't sin against God, distrust God, negate His word by your ceremonies and wants and wishes, and expect Him to always be planning. Well, let me say it another way. When you do that, you negate His plans. That's a simpler way of saying it. I don't know how many times God had to think again about me. You understand what I'm saying? One of these days, I will know that God had these plans for me, and this is where I went against His plans, so He had to renegotiate. That's a bad word. He didn't negotiate. But He has to replan for another point, for another future, for another hope, because I negated the original one. Oh, where do you get that from? Adam and Eve. Plain as day what His original plans was. Plain as day He had to rethink them. Right? Once we believe correctly, we must know that when things do not seem to be going our way, that we will call that seeing a lie and force our minds and our wills to see it God's way. which is good. Doesn't the Bible say count it all joy? Well, that wasn't to convince us to be tortured. That was not a cop-out on God's not working for you, or He's beating you up, and right now He's just beating you up real good, so you'll finally listen. That's not what the Bible's saying. He's saying when you're getting tempted, tested, or even stumbled by your own goofy belief system, count it all joy and see if it doesn't turn around. If we doubt the goodness of God for us, then we will truly see bad things occur. You have what you believe. In this passage of Scripture, He was speaking once again to people that were in bondage. Now, how did they get in bondage? God did not put them in bondage. Even though some of the Old Testament writers love to blame everything on God, you'll go back and find out if you study that they spit in God's face. God gave an instruction. They refused to obey. They forced themselves into captivity. When they finally cried out to God, He said, I want you to know the thoughts that I have for you. Please understand, they're thoughts of good, peace, joy, prosperity, healing. And if you will believe that, I will start again to listen to your prayers. How many times did He do this in the Old Testament? Quite a few. He never wrote them off. He just said the same thing over and over again. If you just listen to me. If you stop doing what you want to do and just listen to me. And here's the cool part. This is things that I wasn't taught when I was young, and I found out. God is not happy when we're sad. God's job is not to put us in bondage. It's to get us out. God's job is not to keep you from going to the movie theater. His job is not to keep you from having some fun. His job is not to keep you from laughing. His job is not to say that you got to wear your hair a certain way or you go to hell. His job, the one He takes serious, is to give us a future and hope. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Okay, now, I've got my way, or I've got God's highway. I've got my thoughts, or I've got God's high thoughts. My thoughts are, as I hope I have enough money to make it until I'm 80. God's thoughts, trust me. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice because you got it made. You don't have a worry in the world. I cared for you when you were a little punk. I care for you when you're an old punk. And everything in between. What is He saying here? I'm outthinking you every moment of your life. If you'll just let me, you don't even have to think too hard. All you have to do is fight for my word, fight for the faith, contend, the Bible says, and you'll have it made. If we're fighting the problem, we've already lost. If we're fighting the temptation to yield to the problem, we're winning. Right? Over and over this week, I thought, this situation, this problem. And the minute I do, God's faithful. He says, is that what you think I'm thinking? Well, no, that's not what you're thinking. Then you quit thinking that. Amen. It's too simple. Oh, man, I've got to go to the doctor. Oh, man, I've got to borrow money. Oh, man, I've got to buy. Wait a minute. Whoa. Is that what God's thinking? Then why don't I quit thinking like that? And I think what God's thinking, Amen. Which my future's sealed. This moment, this day, I'm full of prosperity, joy, peace, health, a future that cannot even be thought about. It's so grand. That's what God is thinking. If you were a perfect person, financially, if you were Donald Trump, and he's surely not perfect, your future is much brighter than his ever will be. Amen. Ever. He's a loser. He can look at me and say, you're fired, and I'm going to say, I never worked for you in the first place. You can't fire me. Come on. You want to know why I'm honoring sometimes? Because I know that. I don't work for you. Sometimes I'm not even too sure I work for me. I know I work for God. And the thing I'm working with right now is to trust Him more than I did yesterday. That's what I'm really contending for right now. That's the work that I have. Connie said to me the other day, she said, funds need to start coming in. I'm going, I wasn't mean to her, but I'm going, I wonder if God's got that in the plan. I wonder if God knew that before she did. And I wonder if she even has the right to say that, if she already knows that God has a plan. Right? So that evening, guy got on the phone, said, meet me Monday. I've got a $30,000 deposit check to start a job. That's a little bit bigger than I was planning. I know it's bigger than she was planning. Right? And that's not the biggest one, is it? The same day, a guy called up. First time, boom. Never talked to him, don't know him from anything. I need a price. That sounds like a good price. I'll meet you Monday and bring you a check. Wait a minute. I didn't sell you yet. You didn't hear my sales pitch. And yet that's what God is doing to us. I've got more for you than you can ever imagine. And instead of us saying, I take it, we say, sell me some more, would you? I'm just not quite sold yet. Isaiah 55:9. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways higher than ours. Let me make a couple of notes about that. Number one, we must have no doubt about what God thinks or what He does. Harry, I promise you, my work in the last year, at least, has been, I have no doubt about what God is doing. I don't care what goes away, what comes. I don't care what's born or what dies. I don't care what's in the bank or what's not in the bank. I have no doubt about what God does and what He's planning to do. Amen. It's bigger than I've ever thought in my life. Amen. And so all I have to do is stay with that thought process. It's grander and better. Number two, what God has thought, He wrote down for record of promise. God didn't, you know what I hate? Excuse me, all you authors in here, I'd hate the authors of books. Because they just write reams of paper about their opinions about something. Open them up, smell under the arm, they'll smell about the same. There's only one writing that's ever been sure, has ever been 100% truth, and it will live forever as truth, and that is the Word of God. And it came from the good thoughts God had about me. Isn't that exciting? The Word of God, Bill, came from the thoughts God had about you. He just wrote them down. Now all we got to do is believe it. Number three, what God thought He wrote, what God thought He does, when we believe with all of our hearts. That's what the Scripture said. He'll do it when we believe with all of our hearts. A, here's what we have to think and what we have to believe. His ways and thoughts are for us, are better and greater than ours. B, our plans can and will fail. His will never. C, we must replace our flesh directions and desires and faith with God's Word in all processes, in all circumstances. What did I just say? You don't have the right to suffer. You don't have the right to be poor.
That's right.
You don't have the right to be sick.
That's right.
You don't have the right to have calamity follow you everywhere.
Right.
Now, when I really believe that, all of that will go away.
Right.
I just experienced it some with the death of my mom and dad. It, in some cases, just didn't happen. Are you understanding? God helped me to step up to the plate and do impossible things. Because of my belief system. He did it. I didn't do it. One of the things that I did find out is that I'm not strong enough to do what I think I can do. I knew the difference. I had some shaky times. I knew that was me. And I knew when God stepped in. Why did God allow that to happen? So that I'd know without Him, I'm not strong enough. No matter how strong I think I am. Or how spiritual. D. No matter what we see or feel, He is working for us by His thoughts and by His promises when we believe with all of our heart. Now, bring up old scriptures to remind you of something. One that hit me and knocked me off my feet and now just lifts me back up again with what God is doing now. Ecclesiastes 2:25-26. Write this down, put it on your wall. It's the NIV. Not all everything in the NIV is bad. Some of it's good. Ecclesiastes 2, 25 25, I'm sorry, 26, 2:26. To the man who pleases God, God gives wisdom. God gives knowledge. God gives happiness. But to the sinner, who's the sinner? Those that don't believe with all their heart. He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Amen.
Now, do you think God is sold on us being prosperous?
Yeah.
Are you sold on the fact that God wants us prosperous?
Yeah.
Then the only way you're going to prove that is to go against everything in your belief system that tells you that you're not prosperous.
So be it.
You know how the so be it will be proved? You won't talk about the lack. You'll talk about the abundance. Yeah, well, you talk and I don't see it. You will. The only reason you can't see it is you don't have the eyes of Christ. It's hanging all over me. Come on, we got to be overcome with the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, which needs to be not your testimony, but the testimony of God Himself.
Right.
Your testimony you shouldn't even have.
Right.
Your testimony should be the word of God. Here's one that points out where our wants are. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So don't hasten to be rich. Hasten to be in the mind of Christ. I'd like to quote this to a lot of TV ministers right now. A man full of faith, will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Many times the devil walks up, tries to knock on my old thick skull and say, where are all those blessings in your life? You know what I need to be faithful to do? Tell him. I've lived a few years now. Never have I ever worked for a man. Never had a job. Always had things to do. Things to do are a blessing, by the way. Always had the provision it took to provide what I needed. Always. Never one time have I been without provision for a need.
Me too.
Had many threats, but I had promises that overrode all of them.
Amen.
Walked in health all of my life. Me and mine. Never once took a ride in an ambulance. Never once had to depend on a doctor to keep me healthy. Is that your only testimony? No, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's the rest of that testimony. No matter how stupid I've been in my life, my children are smart.
Amen.
My God is smarter. That's the reason that is. To back it up again, Deuteronomy 30, verse 8 and 9. Deuteronomy 30, verse 8 and 9. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command you today. What happens if I do what God says for me to do? Let's take away that sharp word called commandments. And what do we just say? What happens if I do what God tells me to do? Verse 9. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand. Now wait a minute. Did this come from a thought process? Did God think this up, or was this just written fictitiously so you'd have something to believe? God thought this thought, Harry. This came from His desires and thought. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, the Lord your God will make you abound. Will make you abound. That's health. That's thought processes. That's your children. That's your grandchildren. That's every place you put your foot and everything you lay your hand to. He'll make you abound in all the work of your hand, abound in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock. He'll make you abound in the increase.
Amen.
We don't need to be satisfied with the increase, Harry. We're seeking for the abundance in the increase.
Amen.
And in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as He has rejoiced over your fathers. If what? If you'll just do what He tells you to do. Let's back it up again. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. You know, Abram was just stupid enough to believe him. I am God. Listen to this. Walk before me and be blameless. How can you walk before God and be blameless? Well, you just do. You believe that his thoughts for you are good. If you can't take it any further than that, that's blameless when you believe that he thinks good for you. Number two, verse two. And I will make my covenant between me and you. My word. All you have to do is believe he's a good God, and he will make the covenant. And will multiply you exceedingly. Oh, I had to go to church school. I didn't see that in there. I had to be a preacher. Didn't see that in there. All I have to do is believe he's good and his thoughts are good for me. And he will write the covenant of blessing over me. By the way, Abram was 99 years old. And what God, as Abram, was going to tell him is you got to produce a kid and raise that kid. Does that sound good to you? What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes God is trying to bless you when it really doesn't look like a blessing. You know what he got out of that? Y'all need to form a duet back there. Anyway, my daughter does that all the time. I can't. Anyway, what did Abram get out of believing God was for him besides a kid at too old an age? Huh? He got his legacy to this day. What else did he get? He got a new name. He got Abram, which was nobody, into Abram, which is Abraham, which is father of many nations. What else did he get, guys? No. You missed this. What difference is it? If my wife is an old hag, what does it do me any good to get young? See, Abraham would have been blessed if he hadn't have been young. If his wife would have been young again, that would have been a blessing. Right? What else did he get? He didn't just get one son that was promised a blessing. He got several of them. What else did he get? He got tested. He fell in love too much with the promise and not enough with the maker. Where he was forced to say, I kill you. You're dead. And God says, put it down, Abraham. Put it down. You passed. I broke that love affair you were having with what you wanted. And I changed your want to me. Now you trust me more than you've ever trusted me before. Where's the bad in this? When you come out of a situation where you trust and love God more than ever before, where is the bad? Now let me show you one other thing that can happen. Genesis 47:27. This is a long message, isn't it? It's amazing what God can give to you in a couple of minutes. And I am not going to get 2 pages of this done, I promise you. Genesis 47:27. So Israel, that's those that worship and praise God. Those are those people that are God's people. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt. What is the land of Egypt? Everything that's bad. Bondage, servitude, false rulership. You hear me? So Israel lived in the land of Egypt. Let me see. I'm looking at faces here. Y'all guys quit complaining. You have never lived in Egypt. No. You just thought you were in Egypt. Read about them living in Egypt. You'll find out the pain that goes there. Let's get the picture. The children of God can prosper in the land of Egypt. So even if you think you're in the land of Egypt, where is your prosperity? Don't you complain to me about your problems unless you have a testimony about how good God is. End it with a praise. Never end it with your problem. Look at this. In the country of Goshen, don't even go there by Goshen. Don't even go there. You won't like that place. And they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. You see that? What did I just read? You don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. All right. Do I need to call every one of you's name? You don't have an excuse. You've never been in the bondage and slavery of those children that were in Egypt. In Egypt. Don't cry to me. Go change your own diaper and let's get on. You hear me? I don't care where you are. I don't care what your problem is. The Bible tells you that you can have possessions and you can grow and multiply exceedingly. That's far enough. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's been trying to get a point across to you today. And the enemy's done everything in the world to distract you. It is not going to happen. We prayed. You have not been distracted. The Word of God has changed your thought processes, has taken away our excuses and our problems, traded them in for the mind of God who thinks only good thoughts for us. And so now my job, Harry, my job is to agree with the thoughts of God, not my own. Amen? Now listen to me. That does not say that the problems are not going to come your way. The temptations are not going to come your way. I did not say that. I just read to you that they lived in Egypt. I just said also, the Scripture just said, that that's not an excuse. You can still prosper, multiply, and have many possessions. You know the thing that I want to possess the most? The mind of Christ. Because I just read that there, that if I'm after the possessions, God's going to be angry. But I'm after His mind, I'll get His possessions. So when I pray, please, people, when we pray, pray the mind of Christ. Don't tell Him about your problems. He knew about them before you were born. Jesus went to the cross and took care of all the situations from before the foundations of the earth until He comes again. Jesus took care of them. And Jesus was a thought of God. Are you hearing me? Jesus was a thought of God for you. Jesus was an obedience to the thought of God. That's why you have salvation. Now, once again, let's get out of our little household. How much more so if we are a thought of God and we obey the thought process of God, who can we touch? In Genesis, it gives us a command that you have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. And I'm not one of those stupid preachers that says that's having kids. Any old stray dog can have a kid. It takes absolutely no talent at all to have a kid. But it does take talent to be fruitful and multiply. No, I'm not against kids. Don't hear me say that. I'm not against it at all. I am against the value that you put in yourself when you have a kid. Wasn't even your thought in the first place. God says that child was a thought before the foundation of the earth. Right. And if He wanted that child on this earth, He could have had it by somebody else. You were just the incubators. Right. Let's get ourselves in proper perspective. What do you think? If we're going to strut, let's strut in the Lord. You know how easy it is to strut in God? If I absolutely know that because of His thought process and His word, that no weapon formed against me can prosper. That one enemy can approach me, and that I can put 1,000 of them into flight, and I can just buddy up with another Christian and put 10,000 to flight. I happen to know another Christian. That all of the earthly possessions belong to the children of God. They don't belong to the world. That I don't have to idolize some fool called Trump. Does a word called Trump just excite visions of knowledge to you? Guy that can't even learn to comb his own hair? And then you wonder, you look across the nations and you see people following Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden that's living in a cave and hiding, found in holes, and people are following them. Does this sound like the mind of Christ to you?
No.
Then let's don't go there. No matter what your household is suffering, it ain't big. It's not big in the mind of Christ. Why should it be big to you? It doesn't make any difference what pain you have. I know the thoughts God has for me. It's for good. What does that mean? That means I don't intend to suffer it. I intend to get over it. Amen?
Yeah.
What are the problems you have that you intend not to get over? Why don't you just tell us right now? What problems do you have that you intend not to get over? Here's the problem. Here's the stumbling point. How do you intend to get over them? Are you so confident in yourself that you don't need God? Are you so confident in God that you don't need yourself? See, you know what vision of heaven to me is? I don't need me. I no longer need a thing that I have. I don't need strength. I don't need feet. I don't need eyes. I don't need ears. I don't need a mind. I need nothing. I don't need the dependence upon me at all. Come on, y'all should get excited about that. If not, we'll dwell in your life a little bit, and I'll show you where you're really not all that great. Then you can do that to me. There's only one failure in this God-Stan relationship, and it's Stan. It's not God. So heaven would be when Stan is not involved anymore. They got quiet on that one, didn't they? Mike, tell us where we really are. Haley was walking down the sidewalk yesterday. We were walking behind her, and I said, Connie, we did that. Come on, let's be confident in what God has done through us. Don't be ashamed of what God has done. Don't be ashamed of what you have done to thwart God's plans. Just stop it. Let's just go on. Let's take no condemnation for the mistakes. Let's take the mind of Christ and his thought processes only. Let's see. Yeah. Every one of you have a reason to fail. Do you have a reason to succeed?
Yes.
Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hearts clear? I hope they're on fire. That's what I hope.
Amen.
I hope they're on fire with desire to see the countenance of his face. That means who he is and how he thinks. We sang about that this morning. How worthless do you have to be for God to love you? How lovely do you have to be before God to love you? Where are you? You see, God wants us to know that we're the apple of his eye. But the only way to get there is to understand you're the dung between his toes. Are you hearing me? And he still loves. I don't care how the child is, the parent loves. Are you hearing me? I've shared this with you before. For those of you that are at Mom's 65th wedding anniversary, there was a man there named Robert Hamilton, if you met him. It was his brother that died with a needle in his arm. That boy just gave his parents so much grief and cost them so much money getting him out of jail and hiring lawyers. And he was just a real pain in the butt. He was worthless. He was a liar from the minute I met him this little. And he was a liar when the day he died. He was worthless. I saw his dad stand over his coffin, crying and say, he never gave me a minute's trouble. Now, what was true? The way the father saw. Right? It may not be true to you and me, but it was true to him. Nothing will make you think more clearly about how God thinks about us. Come on, let's be who God says we are and not who we or somebody else says we are. Amen? All right. You have something you need to say?
Real quick. This is a good word today.
Amen.
Can we hold that one or this one?
No, you can hold this one all you want.
As I was taking notes, I wrote down that I need to be wearing God's glasses.
Amen.
And I pictured, you know, without these anymore, it's getting more and more difficult to see. I'm much more dependent on them than I used to be. And these are just to correct the vision that God gave me. That's all these do is correct. And if I want to, just as the scripture that he read this morning over and over, I know the thoughts that I have for you. You know, if I get to looking at situations, I need to put God's glasses on.
I said amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And this word's helped me probably more than some that I've heard in quite a while. But we all need these corrective lens that God's given to us. We've all got to have it. And I want Lexi, and I probably won't get these right, but it's Raquel and Lauren to come up, and also Karen to come up. We're going to pray for this household that's represented here, and that's under attack. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference what it is. An attack is an attack. And we care about this family. And we are going to see the miraculous. Because we are going to put on God's glasses here. And we're going to see things the way God sees it. Amen? So let's... Renee, come on up too. And
this whole family's
yeah,
under attack.
Let's
all
go.
Of them.
Okay, you're going to have to back away from this wall a little bit so we can all get around here. But as you feel led to pray, I want you to pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I want you to look at me just for a second. See, the one thing I don't want is people deceived. There are repercussions from wrongdoing. When we do wrong or somebody else does wrong, others get hurt. And the plan of God is for when we get hurt, is to get over it. And not to die in the hurt. Not to reproduce the hurt. What I'm trying to say is if we don't understand, if we can't recognize what causes the hurt, we'll do it again. We'll do it. Somebody else may hurt us, but if we don't get it straightened out, we'll hurt somebody else. If somebody does something wrong, it hurts, even if you didn't. Wrongdoing causes pain. Causes bad things to happen. Serving God and loving God, it changes the bad to good. See, what these young ones are facing now, and what all of us face at times, is there's some things we can't do anything about. We could yell, kick, fight, scream, cry. We can threaten. We can run away. We can run back. We can die. We can live. It never changes the situation. There's only one thing that can change situations, and that's trusting and serving God. God didn't cause this. But God can change it. Somebody's wrongdoing caused hell. And until you stand up for God and what's right, hell will continue. Are we hearing that? Our stand can change things. Our stand for God can change things. I heard somebody whisper to the girls, "It's not your fault." Does that make it hurt any less? That's a good piece of information, but it's not the thing that will help. To throw your hands up and say, "It's not my fault," will never help anything. Do you understand that we are to bear each other's burdens? And the best way to bear each other's burdens is not with shared tears, but with shared obedience to God. Pray. Intercede. And above all, now listen to me, above all, God's got a plan. And it's good for you. It's good for you. Just trust Him. Piece of advice for all of us, right? Anything else? Anything else? Just remember this, man. I'm telling you something. God gave guidelines. We can call them rules. And they're for our good. Do you know why? Hey, guys. You know why you're in here now instead of in there? You broke the rules. It's that simple. When we break the rules, somebody has to come in and punish a little bit. You know why the rules were there? You know why God gave us rules? For our good. Man changes it so that we can have no fun. You know, the two girls were just going ape this morning in the car. They're making all kinds of weird noises and going crazy. And of course, Connie goes, and Mom goes, and I say, "Hey, for 3 hours, they got to be quiet. Let them go with it a little bit. Let them drive you crazy so they don't drive you crazy all day. Blow off a little bit." You know what I'm saying? God even lets us do that. Lets us blow off a little once in a while. Just whatever it takes, just as long as at the end of every sentence, guys, every prayer, every thought, every pain, at the end of every sentence, God is for me. He's got a future for me. This is not the end. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you why God, this is an important word for all of us to understand. Because the devil has some plans out there to make us think there aren't any plans. Or there is no tomorrow. That's what the devil's up to. God sent a word and sent me to tell you this morning that that's a lie from hell. The plan is real. And the plan is greater than anything you can ever imagine. Amen? But sometimes He wants us to do a little work. Let God be the guide of that. Amen? Y'all stand with me. We're not late. We're long in the Spirit. The one good thing about God, I mean, just one, is He sees from the beginning to the end. And as I look at grandchildren and wonder, what in the world will they do? Who will they be? I won't know the fullness of my grandchildren, especially the great-grandchildren, but God does. Now, listen to me. Children are customized. They're individual. And the only way that I can help raise or rear the great-great-great-grandchildren that are going to be the gods of the future, I mean the gods' ownership, is that I listen to the mind of Christ to custom raise. You hear what I'm saying? And sometimes that means some strange words, some strange actions, some strange something that people don't understand. There have been many people who have tried to tell me that I raised my children badly. They're liars. I custom raised them. Maybe nobody else will ever do what I did. But there's a reason that I may never see. But there's still a reason. Amen? God's been at my side guiding my steps all the days of my life. And it's been not just for my purpose, but for His. My future and His purpose. And I will not be ashamed. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we're thankful that You accomplished what You set out to accomplish today. I thank You. I feel privileged that You used me. I reiterate the fact that it wasn't for just so I could get a thrill, but it was for the future of these people that are not without hope. I mean, they've got a hope. They've got a hope that's far beyond what they had when they came in. Now, I rebuke any enemy's attempts to steal that. I place in their mind what I said to begin with, which is a hunger and a thirst for Your mind and Your will and Your future. Let these children, let these people under pressure be ministers of righteousness and gospel. Let those around hold them up. And let us turn into a dynamo because we live in the thought processes of God, in the Word of God. We walk in health and prosperity and a bright future because of this. And God, because of this, we give You thanks. Because that we understand the supreme God, the supreme power that rules over all, says that my future is bright. No other word can change that. I thank You, Lord. I thank You so much that in this vast universe, I'm a part of Your thought process. And it is good. That I can't hide. And I don't want to. I love You, Lord. More than that, I trust You. And more than that, I serve You all the days of my life with this testimony. Doing what You want to accomplish what You've already thought out. I'm safe in that bubble. I'm safe in You. Thank You, Jesus. Seal us deep in our not only our hearts, but our lives, our walk, our talk, our testimonies. And for that, we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.